Welcome to Aging Gayfully. We're about adventure, leisure, travel, being a citizen of the world, traveling to destinations, and being a part of the global community as we age and prosper in body, mind, and spirit.
Welcome to Aging Gayfully. I'm Josh, and I am newly arrived back in America again.
And I am Chris Tofer, talking with the jet setter, who is just going back and forth to London. What's up with that?
It was a weird quirk of me having a ticket credit. And actually, so I had this ticket credit for a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so I just did a radius search, basically. How far can I get for this much money without spending more? Because obviously I still had to spend more on hotel and all this. And you know where I really wanted to go, Chris? I wanted to go to Norway. And I couldn't get to Norway.
You wanted to go see the lights.
The lights, and just, I understand, it's freaking gorgeous.
It is.
So
I understand.
I'm in an acquaintanceship with the lead singer of the Spin Doctors, Chris Barron, right? Wouldn't say that we're friends, but I've talked to him for several times, and I text with him. And he introduced me to a Norwegian rock superstar called Erik Norvald Roe. And so I have a person that I could go meet and visit in Norway.
It's pretty cool.
And Chris has described to me how beautiful it is there. And it's just, you know, you have the fjords. That's how you say it, I think, fjord. And just the crystal clear water and the green and the rocks. And, of course, you mentioned the Northern Lights. How cool would that be? And I'd go there and I would meet someone. Because for me, travel is just as about people as it is about places. In fact, it might even be more about people. And one of the things that I was so excited about going to London was meeting these people that I had met during the pandemic online.
Right.
And so I have a reason now to travel to Norway. There's this gentleman that I can meet. But alas, couldn't do it this time.
Well, there's always another time.
There is.
And maybe we could do an Aging Gayfully sustainable travel event going to Norway.
Yes, this is what I'm saying. We just need to make a pile of money with this podcast and with this brand and then just travel the world meeting all of our new friends.
Well, I think
that's a goal.
That is a goal, very much so, because I'm itching to travel. Even though I was in Orlando since the last time we talked. I mean, I did get an opportunity to get out of Dodge for a little bit and went to the Magic Kingdom and Epcot, and it was fun.
So, yeah, talk about that. That's one of the things that I want to get to you. Because, again, that wasn't centered around the place. That trip was centered around a person, wasn't it?
It was centered around a person, my friend, and we kindly refer to him as the 90-year-old slut. that's what he refers himself to in all fun. But he celebrated his 90th birthday recently, and he had never been to Disney World or to Epcot Center. So we took the new Bright Light train into Orlando, and it was the smoothest train ride I think I'd ever had in North America. It was spectacular, and the onboarding, offboarding was easy, clean. Everything was just a wonderful experience. And seeing Epcot and Disney through the lens of a 90-year-old who had never been there before was fun. And it's like he said, I've crossed off one of my bucket list items. If I'm going to live in Florida, I have to go and see the places that make Florida. And so we did. And I think over 2 days, we had close to 18,000 steps. Nice. And he made every one of them.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So it can, you can age gayfully. in all facets of life.
That's so cool. And I was thinking about experiences that I wish I could experience again for the first time. You know, there are several movies that I wish I could see for the first time because they had some sort of cool plot twist or whatever, or places that I wish I could visit and have that feeling of visiting them for the first time. And a place like Disney is that, you know, carries that, because there's such magic there. Of course, I grew up with Disney, and so the magic is different. The magic lives more in nostalgia. But imagine being able to have that experience for the first time as an adult. What fun.
Right. I think it, I know when I go, and I think it had been 5 or 6 years since the last time I'd been in Epcot. But as soon as you walk in the park, no matter how long it's been since you've been there, you remember the other visits that were there. And then you look around and, you know, things are the same, yet things are different. You could see the upkeep that Disney does on their parks and how clean and friendly everybody is. It's expensive, but I think the funniest t-shirt I saw was a man. I took him to be somewhere in his 40s, and he had kids on both sides. I would say probably 9-10 year olds. And his t-shirt said, "Most expensive day ever." But he had a big smile on his face because he was seeing that through the lens of his kids. And while I really can't get in touch with that because I don't have kids, you probably could a little bit more than I can. But it is that shared experience that we often find through travel that really binds people together.
Absolutely. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the Brightline, because I was curious how it was. So you mentioned that it was clean. Did it make the trip any shorter? Was it faster than what you would usually do?
Oh, goodness. Yes. It was faster. We took the train out of Fort Lauderdale. And then there was just another stop in West Palm Beach. But then from West Palm Beach into the Orlando airport, it was direct. It was less than 2.5 hours. And especially the new track that has been run as you go north out of West Palm Beach, that ride was smooth. It was like riding in a high-speed train in Europe. So I would highly recommend that service. And the great thing about it was they've built a station right outside the Orlando airport. So it's connected to the Orlando airport. You have access to all the rental cars, Uber and Lyft. All the different hotels have pick up and drop off there as well. So, and if you've ever had the experience of driving in Orlando, you'll appreciate the Brightline and the Uber that comes to pick you up, and let them deal with the traffic. If I have one goal the rest of my life, it's never to drive in Orlando ever again.
Let me tell you something. Public transportation is one of these things that I've become a huge fan of ever since visiting New York, right? And not having to rent a car at all in New York. And then these last two trips I've taken to London, where all the benefits of the system in New York, except a lot cleaner and a lot more more options as well. Even when I was there this last time, they were having some rail strikes.
Sure.
But even with what were some pretty widespread outages, I never found myself in a bind because there were plenty of options. So I love traveling on the subway or the tube. I loved London buses. You know, it's the double-decker bus, and that's cool anyway, but it's cleaner. And yeah, no, I'm a huge fan. I just dream about one day not having to own a car and not having to pay insurance.
We
and,
are so and aligned.
Not having to, yeah. to do upkeep and all of the, you know, then there's the practical, all of the shit that just builds up in my car because, I mean, I'm sorry, I am who I am. Nothing I can do about it. But just not having to deal with any of that stuff. That's a life goal, friend. That's a bucket list, not having to own a car.
Well, and it's definitely obtainable, and it's actually sustainable.
Yep.
How do you like that?
Yep.
Obtainable. And that's what I think, as folks have followed me over the last couple of years, whether it's been on the Healing Ties podcast, that old podcast that's still getting downloads, which is amazing. And as shifting into aging gayfully, you know, one of my goals actually is to go across the pond and live and work and experience Europe and do the trains and not have a car. And this is coming from somebody that have road trip, real travel. But as I've gotten older, I just, you know, those long road trips just aren't in the cards anymore for me. I want to be able to let somebody else do the driving. And that's kind of what I took back from that Brightline experience. It's like, I've been on Amtrak. Amtrak has some pluses and minuses, but Brightline, goodness, probably won't be in my lifetime, but they'll be all across the United States.
I hope so.
Yeah, they're already planning a new route from Vegas into, I think it's Orange County in California. Right. Yeah. Again, that's another high traffic area as it is from South Florida to Orlando. And I think eventually Brightline's going to get kind of make the curve and go into Tampa, and probably eventually they'll just go down the Southwest corridor of Florida too. So got to get them to Northern Florida.
Yeah, no, definitely. Think? They do have two proposed routes as I was looking at what they do. And one of them is to Tampa, and then the other one is to Jacksonville. Yeah. I don't know if they would bring that one through Gainesville or not. I would hope, because that's the only major city between here and there. But, and I say major city with a bit of a smirk, but that is proposed. So hopefully they do.
And you know, one of the other advantages of Brightline was I was able to purchase the ticket, all four tickets for our group, and I was able to add on parking. So I picked up everybody that was going, dropped them off at the station, and they had built a parking garage, secured parking garage next to the station. And it was ultra convenient. It's all electronic. You know, you have your QR code. You just push your phone, put the phone up to the scanner, and you know, the car was secure for the 4 days that we were gone. And they, you know, they've tried to institute a couple of other new programs, like you could order an Uber from your departing or arriving cities. And, you know, I did do that, but you know how technology is. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I always, you know, I kind of wondered how is the Uber driver going to connect with me, since it was purchased on another app. And sure enough, the Uber driver never connected with us. We had to go to Uber and order it separately, which delayed a little bit. But kudos to Brightline, as soon as I got on with customer service, they acknowledged that there is a little bit of a snafu there. And instant credit on the account. So that's, again, Richard Branson knows what he's doing. Sir Richard Branson.
Sir, yes, sir. Yeah. All right. So yeah. If we could, can we shift our focus to the news? File this under people complaining about something that you ought not to complain about, right? So the first two, and this is from LGBTQ Nation, your first two words in this headline will probably give you an idea of the direction that I'm going. Ready? First two words of this headline, Fox News. All right. Fox News now accusing Scrabble of being too woke.
Oh, my goodness gracious, St. Ignatius.
So allow me to read a little bit of this, and then I will get your...
Well, but I got to correct you just one second. First, Fox and News aren't... I mean, they're... I don't think they reflect one another. I think of a fox in the field that looks really pretty, but I don't think of Fox and News go together. But that's just my political comment for the day.
I mean, they should have to pass some sort of certification, right, to be able to use News, because like I could change my name to Josh News and then boom.
I like that. Did it update from Josh News.
No. It. Here's the difference between me and Fox News is that I know that sometimes I'm full of shit. So, all right, here we go. Five angry Fox News hosts, again, such an interesting and evocative word picture right there, think that the popular board game Scrabble is too woke because in addition to banning racist and anti-LGBTQ+ slurs, a new version focuses more on having fun with friends than on competitive scoring. Right? So they've come up with a European version called Scrabble Together. Now, I'll stop you right there. This affects them not even a little bit because, again, a European version. So already it should be full stop. Well, it should have been full stop at complaining about a board game, but you know,
yes,
whatever.
Yeah, there's complaining about a board game.
The new version allows players to play in teams, challenges players to spell certain types of goal words, and provides hints for improving players' skills. The new version also has the classic Scrabble game board with its color-coded scoring on its underside. So again, it's still... You still have the option to play the regular game. They've just geared this new version towards learning, towards having fun with friends, and moving on. The game's manufacturer, Mattel, created the version after discovering that Millennial and Gen Z players enjoyed the game's language and socializing more than its competitive scoring. All right. Scrabble has truly stood the test of time as one of the most popular board games in history, and we want to ensure the game continues to be inclusive for all players. And this is Ray Adler, Vice President and Global Head of Games at Mattel. For anyone who's ever thought word games aren't for me or felt a little intimidated by the classic game, Scrabble Together is an ideal option. Fox News host Jeanine Pirro announced Scrabble is dumbing itself down for the woke during an April 10th segment of its discussion panel show, The Five. She said that the game has a no more scoring option so that no one's feelings get hurt. But this is somewhat misleading. People can still win and lose in Scrabble Together. Pirro continues. They have removed certain words. They ban racist slurs from the tournaments. But there are also new words, you know, that the woke generation would be very comfortable with. So this is more about wokeism, this new Scrabble, or it's about ADHD and the fact that they need friends and they need hints and they can't spell. Get this. Jessica Tarlov, I hope I'm saying that right. Actually, I don't care. One of the panel's more liberal co-hosts said she was in favor of the game removing all slurs, adding, "I think we can all agree on that." And then two panelists then replied, "Not so fast, and be careful." Yeah. And there's more, but I'm getting an itch, so I shan't read it. You get the idea. Why? That's my question. Just why?
I too much time on people's hands. What exactly is woke? Has Webster defined it yet?
I don't know. And if you riff a little bit, I can look and see if Webster has defined it a little bit.
I don't think we hear woke as much as we did when there was a presidential candidate that had dropped out of the race that unfortunately is the governor of Florida, but that's up for another topic. But what exactly is woke?
Merriam-Webster defines woke, chiefly U.S. slang, aware of and actively attentive to important societal facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But then the secondary definition, often used in context, so this is our friends on the right, that suggests someone's expressed beliefs about such matters are not backed with genuine concern or action, right? And so they are accusing other people of being performative and not mm-hmm. actually being concerned, I guess, is the excuse or the reason that Webster's give for it being okay. a pejorative term.
I guess they use that word in reverse. They're really talking about themselves.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly them getting all twisted up and offended by a board game that they don't have to play, that no one's compelling them to play, that we've not taken the original Scrabble away. We've just provided a new version. Methinks that they are idiots too much. But, you know, this whole idea of woke and it becoming a term that has been an insult, I always get really concerned when we name things something other than what they are. And this is what I mean by that. As soon as you take this idea of social justice and kindness and compassion, concern and empathy, and you give it another name, you've contained it in a box that people can then criticize and dismiss. Right. And that's definitely what is happening here. Because if you could say, oh, you know, if their argument was, oh, instead of you're being too woke, oh, you're being too compassionate. Well, that doesn't come off the same way, but because it's been now called woke, which, you know, my understanding is that the roots of that word also are in African American vernacular. And that's even another reason for certain people on the right to dismiss it because, you know, of certain racist undertones there. But they've taken it and by dismissing it as woke, they're throwing out kindness, compassion, empathy, love, all of these things.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. I'm just going back to my seminary days. I just remember one of the contemporary songs. They'll know we are Christians by our love.
Mm.
I don't think that's woke. But somehow that wokeness forgets that phrase that I think we're all called to love and care for each other within our even within our differences.
You said it, but also I think speaks to the fact that although America is steeped in this idea of individualism, the reality is that in order to survive and to thrive and to grow, we need to be with and around other people.
Right. It's community.
It's community, but it's this weird push and pull where people define community as, oh, just this group of people. When in the reality, community should be and is the fact that we are a community of humankind, right?
Right.
I mean, but as soon as you start putting circles around people and saying, okay, these are my people and those aren't my people, then what you're doing is you're perverting what community is supposed to mean. It's just like, you know, referring to woke as something other than what it actually is meant to be, you're perverting that meaning. Well, you're also perverting the meaning of community when you exclude people, because that's not, in my opinion, it's not what it's meant to be.
That's spot on target. You know, I don't want to be a part of a community that does not include everybody. Does not give everybody the opportunity to be themselves, to express themselves. And it's funny that I think the other word that frightens people these days is diversity.
Oh, sure. Oh, yes. Especially in the state of Florida, where we've legislated against it.
It's like, the tragic bridge collapse in Baltimore. Some of the comments that came out, diversity is the problem. It's like, what? But this country was built on diversity.
The ideal of this country. Now, the reality also is that this country was built on taking advantage of people of different types and kinds. But the ideal of the country, the thing that we're taught as children, is that there's a place for everyone. You know, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses. And I would love for us to have an America that reflects that and doesn't reflect maybe even the reality of the flawed and frail humanity that actually built the country. Rather, the ideals of that flawed and frayed humanity, or at least the stated ideals that have been written down. It's interesting, though. I went back and I found a quote from Ron DeSantis. It's a very famous soundbite. But if we were to choose to use different terminology, I don't know if you're going to recognize this, but this was on the news where DeSantis said, in some sort of appearance, he said, "We will fight the woke in legislature. We will fight the woke in education. We'll fight the woke in business." Remember this? But if you say,
yes,
DeSantis gets up there and says, "We will fight the kindness in legislation. We will fight the compassion in education. We will fight the kindness in businesses. We will never, ever surrender to the kind mob. Our state is where kindness goes to die."
Good translation.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying what he was saying, except I was saying it.
That's right.
This idea of community and being together, I think, is reflected perfectly in the fact that you have some people who are car people and some people who are public transportation people. You have some people who will say, "I'm going to get to where I want to go, damn it, by myself when I want to do it." And there's other people who say, "I recognize that public transpo is probably better for the environment. And the reality is it's probably better for me. So I'm gonna take standing at a subway station for 5 minutes and waiting and getting on and sitting down next to someone and then going on my way because it's for the betterment of humanity." See how I'm tying this all up in a nice bow?
You are. And I have a question.
Go ahead.
And I don't know. I think I know the answer to this question as it relates to you, but I don't know. Do you like talking to strangers?
I have my moments.
Uh-huh. I mean, like here's an example, and this is something that I find myself doing all the time. You know, I'm standing like in an elevator, waiting for an elevator, and there's somebody. So you know, I'll always strike up a conversation just to kind of break, you know, it's like, "Oh, that's a great pair of shoes you have on," or "How's your day going?"
Yeah.
You know, "Can I get the door for you?" It's just, I don't know. I've most cases, if you get a friendly response back, I don't think I've ever been ignored when I've reached out just to say, "Hey, how's your day going?" Or you know, when you go to Wawa or one of the gas stations, you walk in and hold the door for somebody coming in and coming out. And hey, have a great day. You know, it doesn't make any difference what color they are, what nationality they are. It's that it comes back to that core center of kindness. And we all know that our minds run in different directions when we're standing in an elevator or walking in a door, but how much effort does it take just to greet somebody and say, hey, have a good day?
You are much more that person than I am. I aspire to be that, because I do think one of the most awkward things is standing in an elevator with people and not talking. It seems so unnatural.
Right.
It's probably one of the most unnatural social things that we do, or not social things that we do, is standing in this little box with six other people and not saying a damn word. Right?
Right.
Like even like you got too many people, you're actually touching someone and not talking to them.
He touched me.
Yes. Yes. So no, I aspire to be that, you know, breaking past my severe introverted nature. So I'll always hold a door for someone. I'll always make eye contact and smile with people.
I'm introverted too. If I've had a big party, I'd be the one in the corner, but I'd be picking people out that I want to go talk to so that I can talk to everybody.
Yeah, I love that. Like I said, I aspire to that. We want to talk to you listening out there. We want to know your stories. We want to hear what you have to say. Chris has some projects bubbling up that we've kind of talked about that really focus on getting feedback and building community. But we also want to build community in the real physical way. I don't know why I did this with my hands. Don't worry. If we have a meet and greet.
Are you going to show that on the video side of the podcast? Yes. You're going to show your hands moving on that?
Yes, I'm kind of doing this thing with my hands. But if I ever meet you, I'm not going to come towards you with my hands doing this.
It's going to. Is there? We are. We're going to the breaking news segment.
But we do want. Oh, what are you about to do? You about to do something? I see you on your computer.
I'm gonna see.
Oh, there we go. Oh God. Oh God. Chris has found a toy. Oh no.
I found a toy, so I'll be trying to figure out all day how to work it. But I think I'll just turn it off.
How did you do that?
Well, there's a little button down there that says media.
Oh my gosh. Oh, no way. Look at that. Oh, that is fancy as hell, dude. All these things, I don't even know about our own software here.
So I have to train the tech person on our podcast.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, anyway. That's a little.
I think that's going to be edited out.
So. I don't think it will be. I mean, listen, no secrets here. All right, Chris. Well, I think we've reached our time here.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have maybe by our next recording, we'll have our merchandise store up. What do you think?
I think that it's already live.
It's already live now, but it's not on the website yet. So.
Oh, I got you. Yep.
And we're going to be working on combining both the TLO Travel and Tours website and Aging Gayfully into one site. So so it's easier for me to manage. And so that's coming down the road. And tell us where you've been traveling. We want to know some of your travel experiences. You can get us at yesiam@aginggayfully.com. yesiam@aginggayfully.com. I'll always remember one of the first episodes when I gave the email address and I forgot to say yesiam@aging. I forgot something. So
I think you forgot the .com, which would have made for an adventure, but.
Dot everything. Now there's a dot everything. Where? Oh, I'm going to need to take a nap, and it's only 10 o'clock in the morning. So,
well, always get your naps in when you can.
There you go.
That's my advice to you in closing. We will talk to you all next week.
Hasta pronto.
Okay, yeah, what he said. Bye.